Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Gianna, while you were in your top of the hour update, our good friend and station reporter John Dickinson just broke a little news on Twitter saying that the Warriors have officially announced groundbreaking for Chase Center in San Francisco. It's going to be held on Tuesday, January 17th. Scheduled to open the start of the 2019-2020 season. So wow. If you were looking for a little fast break construction, there you go. The Warriors are off and running and will break ground on their new San Francisco Side of the Bay Arena coming up on January 17th. Well. Welcome on back. Our good friend Tony Bruno normally joins us on a Tuesday, and it took me a while to even remember that today was a Tuesday, because after you have a Monday off, it always feels like a Monday, but it's not. It's Tuesday. We have a trifecta, and we also have the one and only Tony Bruno.
Don't give me no lines and keep your hands to yourself.
Well, let's see. Never a dull moment around here, Tony. You've got a quarterbackless Raider team trying to go to Houston to win a playoff game now, and you have a directionless 49er team on the open market looking for a GM, a head coach, and all the accoutrements that come with all needs for a football team. They need it all.
Other than that, 2017 is off to a tremendous start in the Bay Area.
It really is.
For the football teams, of course.
Oh, geez. Look, the backup quarterback is always an unknown entity, but, you know, the backup quarterback is always the backup quarterback for a reason. Whatever excitement you wanted to put into the Matt McGloin start kind of fizzled real, real fast, Tony.
Yeah, and then he got hurt, of course, which didn't help. And, you know, it's really, I know a lot of Raider fans listening, and even if you're not a Raider fan, I know 49er fans are Raider fans, there's no love, but to me, you want to talk about this. We knew the Niners were a disaster from Jump Street. But the Raiders got better and better and better. You know, David Carr, there was MVP talk, and then he gets hurt, you know, on an innocuous sack, to be honest with you. I mean, it wasn't one of the vicious hits. It was one of those guys fell on his leg the wrong way, sort of like Teddy Bridgewater and what's his face down in Tennessee, Marcus Mariota. You know, if you see a real vicious hit and a guy gets hurt, you say, wow. But, you know, it's one of those things, and it's sad for the Raiders. I feel bad for the Raiders. It's just, what's going on? Where's the karma? I mean, yeah. You have a great season. It's almost like the Raiders are cursed. You know, this is finally a year where they can make a run. Were they going to win a Super Bowl? Probably not. But, you know, to not have a legitimate quarterback at this stage of the season, and even if McGloin had played, you know, how much could you expect from him? And now what are you going to expect, you know, from Connor Clark or anybody else they bring in?
It's such a disappointment. It's going to leave everybody with this empty feeling and the whole what might have been. And that's a tough ghost to just chase. I mean, yeah, they'll come back next year and they'll try to do it all again. But the truth is, Derek Carr covered up an awful lot of the shortcomings of this team with his stellar play. And the defense regressed. We saw the team forget how to run the football, or at least Denver stacked the box enough to where they couldn't run the football. And it just feels like the depression that came and hung over that stadium with the third quarter injury against the Indianapolis Colts has not left the team. They were dead on arrival in Denver. It's an empty feeling. And what a disappointing way to end what was a ridiculously exciting year.
Yeah, there's no doubt. And it's sad. It's sad for the sport, not just because it's Derek Carr. I mean, any team that goes through that, especially a team that hadn't made the playoffs since 2002, and you finally see things coming together, and then it ends that way, and it's sad. I mean, who knows? I mean, I don't know what's going to happen in the next playoff game. Maybe something miraculous happens there, but as far as that feeling of, wow, the Raiders, man, here they are in the playoffs and maybe hosting a playoff game, a home game, and now to have to not just win one game on the road, and even if you do, you know, to try to do what they're going to have to do to get deep into the playoffs, is virtually next to impossible. And if they do it, I mean, it'll be a major miracle. Not a minor miracle, a major miracle.
Yeah, turning our attention to the 49ers, who we all know we're going to let, you know, Balky go. Turns out Chip Kelly gets the heave-ho, too. I know in Philadelphia, they'll tell you that it was a mistake to ever hire him in the beginning, but he was desperate, the Niners were desperate, and those two desperate kids got together, and what do you know, it didn't even come close to working out. Forget about what's next for the 49ers. There's so many moving pieces there. It's almost like no one has any idea what's exactly next. What do you think is going to be next for Chip Kelly? Do you think he gets an NFL crack? I don't, Tony, because if you're bringing him in as an offensive coordinator, you're almost making him head coach based on how unique his offense is and what it does to the rest of the team.
Yeah, exactly. And I don't know. You know, the same question is being asked about Rex Ryan. Rex Ryan's been around the NFL a long time. Chip's now had two cracks in a one-and-done situation. And certainly he wasn't dealt a fair hand. But the offense of the 49ers actually was not as bad as statistically, because I know Kaepernick, you look at his numbers after when he finally got to play, his pass, his touchdowns to interception ratio was good. But we all knew that this team wasn't going anywhere, and they just got worse. I mean, if it wasn't for the Rams, they may not have won a game all year. I mean, that's hard to believe. Even with Chip Kelly, you figure there'd be some juice. There'd be some way of this team, you know, showing some signs of life. But they were DOA, and they never, ever, there was never a sniff of this team possibly remotely getting better, to the fact where the Chip Kelly one-and-done thing a couple of weeks ago, it seemed like that was going to be the case. Now, I tweeted the other day on Sunday, I said, Chip Kelly, you know, the big question now is, how does Warriors figure out who owes him what and how much money he'll get to not work for the next couple of years? Because of the Eagles, I know the Eagles are on the hook, but I thought when you got another job, you're off the hook. And then the Niners obviously gave him a long-term deal. So that's going to be for the lawyers to figure out. I saw a figure, $18 million, that Chip Kelly's going to get his lovely parting gifts from the combined two franchises from which he last worked. Hey, that's a bad deal if you can get it.
They're still paying Tom Sula $7 million not to coach.
Wow.
It's the truth. I saw this on SB Nation. Between what they owe Balky, between what they owe the jettisoned Tom Sula staff, the now jettisoned Chip Kelly staff, that the 49ers are essentially going to be paying out $69 million over the next 2 years to not manage or coach them to a handful of people. That's unbelievable.
That's $68 million. That's not, and obviously it doesn't count against the salary cap, but it counts against the, you know, the people who bought tickets and are saying, you know, what am I going out there for? Why am I going down to that bar? And a lot of people didn't show up. And so those are the season ticket holders paying for failures in front office. And the Tom Sula hire, you know, I mean, the bottom line is this. I mean, if you had kept Jim Harbaugh, would it have been this bad?
Never.
Would this have happened?
There's no way. There's no way. Jed York is now dying to return to the culture that he so thoroughly rejected when he let Jim Harbaugh go. I mean, he remember the "We're not here to go to NFC Championship games" press conference. 2 years later, they're not putting three wins together. I mean, it's unbelievable, Tony. It really is. There's so much blame to go around. It's the players for sure. It's the GM. It's the front office. It's the owner. It's the culture right now. You can blame it against everyone except the ladies.
Please don't hold it against the ladies.
Exactly right. Exactly right.
How about this? You know, Tony, the great Jack Buck once said to a friend of mine, there are two kinds of people in radio, those who have been fired and those who have lied about it. So, you know, there's everybody in their life gets terminated. But I would like to turn our attention to the one and only Lane Kiffin, who I think has hit the termination trifecta. Tony, he's been fired by way of overhead projector. He's been fired on the tarmac, and now he's been fired a week before a national championship game. That's pretty unique.
It really is. I guess it's his fault that their quarterback, even though they won the game, did not look spectacular in the Alabama victory over Washington. And, you know, and Washington obviously was in that game a little bit, but they just couldn't put it away. So I don't get it, because if Lane Kiffin didn't leave as soon as he got the job down at Florida Athletic, why would you keep him around for the final game and then get rid of him for the championship game.
It's like Nick Saban just ran out of patience or just didn't want to hear another shot from Lane about how little fun that he had and was just like, you know what? See ya. Sark's ready to go. I mean, I've never seen anything like it.
Me neither. Although the overhead projection, Raider firing Mr. Davis, explaining all the things and the reasons why he had to let Lane Kiffin go. I mean, there's nothing that could top that. As far as coach firing, I don't remember a lot of bad coaches fired, and I've seen a lot of good coaches fired. I've seen a lot of coaches who you don't know are going to get fired. That one is the capper of them all. That is the single greatest, I can't believe what I'm watching event.
It really was.
In my lifetime of watching coaches get fired in every sport.
What's better, getting fired via overhead projector or Mariah Carey's New Year's Eve performance?
Well, I noticed now there's a blame me because she was saying that they didn't have the sound wasn't right. Why didn't she have an earpiece? If you're lip sync in a crowd on Times Square at New Year's Eve, don't you think you would have an earpiece in? And didn't you rehearse? Now she was blaming ABC. And then, of course, the Dick Clark people, whoever run that thing, are blaming her. I mean, it was embarrassing. And yet, you know, I'll give her credit. At least whoever put the press release or the quotes the next day out were saying, hopefully we'll make more memories in 2017. Remember, she had the ill-fated, even though it wasn't on the air, did you ever play the lip-sync version of her Rockefeller Center tree lighting thing from a couple of years ago?
No.
Because she was singing along with the track. But they leave the mic on live just in case something goes wrong like the other night. Well, her mic was live, but then she didn't know what to do because she was going to be singing along with herself. But somebody at NBC ran the tape of her live mic. It wasn't on the air, but if you can find it on YouTube, go look for Mariah Carey live Rockefeller tree lighting ceremony, and you can hear that she cannot sing a lick even when she's lip syncing over her own songs. When it's pre-recorded.
Well, that I thought was kind of the funny thing, and the audio does not match up quality of the evening because she's, of course, got those iconic, like only she can hit them high notes. And then there she is, though, you know, talking into the microphone like she's a six-pack-a-day smoker, Tony. I mean, she's got these high notes, and all of a sudden she's like, this microphone's not working, everyone. This microphone's not working. And it's just, there's no way that one voice comes out of her anymore. There's a reason why Mariah is not known as a live performer, and I think we just saw why, Tony. I'm going to call it right now. She's a studio gangster, Tony.
Yeah, and I don't know. I mean, she does live shows. I don't know how she does it, but she must pre-record it and lip-sync. I mean, she can still sing, but obviously not live. And she's not Milli Vanilli bad because she did have hits, but I think she's just trying to squeeze out a couple of more years and a couple of more husbands before she packed him up. But the thing that was even more embarrassing, I didn't watch it live because I try not to watch those New Year's Eve shows. I mean, I'm depressed enough with real life.
Right.
I want to turn on Ryan Seacrest or Carson Daly or whoever else is, or Carson Palmer or whoever else is doing a show. Or
Anderson Cooper, Kathy Griffin. Anderson, what is it? Apparently, Don Lemon got all torn down on CNN, got a little too drunk for broadcast.
Well, that's the only way I would watch it, if Don Lemon got drunk or something. You know, you watch those shows basically to see what could go wrong, not what could go right. And it was a perfect ending to 2016, the Mariah Carey debacle. But how about the schlubs that had to, like, move her feathers and pretend like everything was cool? You know, those guys who just walk around with her. And
oh, when they had to, like, pick her up and carry her across the stage like Cleopatra, that one guy was like, come on, really? Like, you're mailing this in. Why do I got to pick your ass up and get you through?
We've all had issues and but from what I've heard about Mariah Carey, her diva-ness is the epitome of more important than you, who do you think you are kind of diva-ness. And you know what, if that happens to you and you mistreat people and you think you're better than anybody else, I have no sympathy for Mariah Carey.
That's karma. That's karma, everyone. Hey, learn your lesson, everyone. Tony, thank you so much. Great to talk to you as always. We'll see if we talk to you next week. If the Raiders are alive and heading to New England, we will find out together. Thank you, my friend.
Thank you very much.
There he is, the one and only Tony Bruno. How about this from the text line? Mariah Carey sounded like Krusty the Clown. She did. You know, she's got that, you got me feeling emotions. like, you know, all these perfect notes being hit on the voice track.
Yeah.
And in the meantime, she's like, hey, hey!
I mean, weird.
It was bad.
My favorite was when she told the guy, could you lift me now?
Well,
it was so bizarre.
The thing is, too, like, how long has she been doing it?
Right.
Even if the earpiece isn't in, like, I guarantee you that I could halfway pass off a live performance of Emotions and then whatever song she did next, because that's how many times I've heard them.
Right.
Like, I could give you a mailed it in performance of Emotions, even though I don't know the lyrics. I guarantee you I know 80% of the lyrics and could have just fumbled my way through it. I mean, what happened to the old "The Show Must Go On"?
Not for her.
She
didn't know how to handle it. It's crazy.
She took a playbook right out of the Ashley Simpson gagging on Saturday Night Live playbook. She did everything but do the hoedown dance and exit stage left.
That's right. I forgot about that.
I always thought that Mariah Carey, like, was a lot more able to get through a difficult moment than Ashley Simpson might have been. But
Mariah can sing. I mean, she's talented.
Right. Right.
I mean, that's what blows my mind. So just start singing. Do what you do, Mariah.
I was stunned by the whole thing.
Come on, Mimi.
Look at this. My sports astrologer waiting patiently to talk. Isn't that fantastic? Andrea, how are you, darling?
Great. Happy New Year, David.
Happy New Year. How's my Mercury retrograde rising?
You know, I'm so glad you said that. The Mariah Carey debacle is the perfect Mercury retrograde story.
Ah.
You can't make this stuff up. Mercury went retrograde December 19th. It'll be retrograde till January 8th.
Of course.
So technical difficulties, communication, just a lot of, you know, there was a computer glitch with people getting home. It just expect the unexpected and allow extra time for travel and communication and technology.
There you go. Is this why we had technical difficulties at that Warriors remote a couple of weeks ago? Is that maybe Mercury retrograde rising something?
Well, you know, that could be, but what's even more important, I just saw on your Twitter feed, the groundbreaking for the Warriors site is January 17th after Mercury comes out of retrograde, so good timing on that.
That is good timing. I would hate to begin construction if we were out of retrograde. That would just be a disaster.
Yeah, you want to move forward, not have, you know, fits and starts, which is subject to construction anyway. But
Andrea, is there any clear to you in the tea leaves, in the stars prognosis for 2017 that we need to know about?
Well, you know, I love that you called me in. It was sort of this great analogy about a hippie advisor and the Birkenstocks and the granola. It's like, oh, I'm going to call Damon.
Oh, sweet. I guess that does apply to you. Absolutely.
Yeah. So I'm studying a lot of charts. You know, what's real interesting, you know, the 49ers, I just wanted to say the Capricorn. It was hard to get Jed York.
Actually, his name is Kaepernick, but continue.
No, the Capricorn.
No, it's Kaepernick, actually, but continue.
You know, Capricorns can be very, you know, kind of selfish and, you know, higher, holier than thou.
Colin Capricorn?
This is Jed York, unfortunately.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, that news conference, he was very know-it-all, very condescending. I had a lot of trouble with that. And Chip Kelly is a Sagittarius, and so is Matt McGloin. And Saturn is in Sagittarius, which is a planet of limitation. So very tough going for both of them. I'm studying Connor Cook, January 29, 1993. He's having what's known as a Jupiter return once every 12 years.
Oh, boy.
Which is a cycle of opportunity.
Is there a punt return coming up this weekend? Because he needs that more than a Jupiter return. He's going to need some bonus points coming from somewhere. Here's a little interesting fact about Connor Cook.
Yes.
Maybe you can say that the stars would explain this, but he walked out of Michigan State basically as the school's all-time leading everything in the category of quarterback, but he was never named the team's captain. His teammates did not like him. His coaching staff didn't like him. Is that in the tea leaves?
Well, you know, Aquarius can be eccentric and rebellious and rather unconventional, somewhat, what's the word, somewhat rebelling and anarchistic. So there's a part of their personality that doesn't always want to conform and fit in.
By the way, the wife is an Aquarius, so this is good to know.
Yes, yeah, the more information, the better, Damon. Trust me on that.
It's a good chalk talk.
You know, we can take the high road or the low, so I wouldn't read too much into that. You know, he wasn't named the captain, although that's kind of the quarterback job description. But again, you know, Aquarians do have an eccentric, rather erratic personality at times.
Is it true that an Aries would make the best owner? Clearly makes the best talk show host.
Well, yes, because Aries is fire, and they're very exuberant and courageous and competitive. And just so you know, do you know Mariah Carey is an Aries?
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
I can't believe she mailed it in the way she did. Text line says that she made $2 million for that appearance.
Oh,
ABC paid her $2 million to walk off after about 90 seconds of bad lip syncing gone awry. Do you even know how many live consecutive hours of real radio broadcasting I would have to do to make $2 million? Good God.
Well, Aries can be impatient. And
we're very impatient. Yes.
So I think she just got fed up. You know, as a fellow Aries, who was like, you know, just like, enough already. You know, this isn't working. And Mercury retrograde, quite frankly, I'm surprised her own astrologer didn't warn her about Mercury being retrograde and expect the unexpected.
There you go.
People in Hollywood have astrologers, so she really needed to tune in.
I would say mostly people in Hollywood have astrologers. It's the rest of us that maybe.
Well, we have one for the radio show.
We have our own official astrologer. Andrea, thank you very, very, very much. It's great to talk to you. I want to wish you a very happy new year.
Yes, thank you so much. Happy new year to you and yours.
That is our sports astrologist, Andrea, from over in Berkeley.
Questions.
Oh, she's got answers.
For 2017. Andrea, let's talk.
She's got the answers. She absolutely does. Yeah. Mariah Carey. Aries. I was wondering, how many people do you think she yelled at before the end of that night?
Oh.
How many people caught it on the wrong end of that phone that night before Mariah went to bed or whatever Mariah does? She wraps herself in silken gowns and gets in the jacuzzi or whatever. Someone was telling me that her reality show is just a train wreck. Like, should totally start watching it level of train wreck.
Really? I can't do it.
I'm just not interested. I saw her MTV Cribs where she got in the tub.
I saw that.
That was pretty much a break from reality, didn't you think?
Yeah.
That was pretty much where, like, we're all going this way. Mariah, she's going that way.
Apparently, Mariah's team is blaming it on executives who wanted some sort of drama for the night of so they'd get some traction.
Oh, they
want
a little hashtag action?
Yeah. Supposedly. That's what her team is saying.
Maybe that's what the Niners were doing. Maybe the Niners just wanted to trend on Twitter, and that explains the last 3 years more than anything else.
There you go.
Feels like it, doesn't it?
We figured it out.
It really does. We've got a good friend. His name is Draymond Green. He is always one of the single most interesting things you hear all week. And he joins us next to talk about week number two of fatherhood, this long homestand that they're on right now. Another triple-double that he says is no big deal. Draymond Green joins me next here on 95.7 The Game. We hope to be hooking up with Draymond Green soon. It was great to hear Steph Curry on the air today with Papa and Bonte. Really good stuff out of Steph. I know that we're going to be replaying a good swath of that for Warriors warm-up tomorrow. Yeah, it's been a fun homestand. We've got Tim Roy coming up a little bit later on to talk about it. It's been a fun homestand so far. The last of Dirk. You got the Toronto Raptors. You got a Harrison Barnes. Hey, how are you? And then tomorrow, it's Dame Lillard again. That's the, first four games of this five-game homestand. They got one more game. I think it's Memphis after that. Then they go to play the Sacramento Kings. It's hardly a road trip. It's just an up-the-road trip. You can come right back down when the game is over. And then they settle in for four more in a row at Oracle, with the final two games being Oklahoma City Thunder and then on Martin Luther King Day. It's the Cavaliers and a matinee.
Sweet.
That's going to be good. That's going to be worth the price of admission for sure. But there's an awful lot of basketball coming up between now and then to talk about all of it, to talk about yet another triple-double. And good things for the Warriors. We got them. Let's do it.
A lot of people said I could never play in this league. Too slow, too small, can't defend nobody. I've always been doubted my entire life. They told me I couldn't do it. And I'm sitting here, NBA champion.
LeBron goes quickly, drives on Iguodala. There's a block by Draymond! Back to Draymond, down Broadway. Another dunk for Draymond.
I'm a bad man! You hear me?
Curry on a weave off a screen. Curry on a weave off a screen. Bounce pass to Draymond. Slices to the rim. Right hand slam for Draymond. A little elevation sensation.
We did it for the Bay. And we're going to do it again for the Bay. Because we rep the Bay.
Okay.
Bay Area's team.
Yeah.
We run this.
All right.
All right.
Now, it's time for the Draymond Green Show.
Our conversation with Draymond, driven by Stevens Creek BMW, online at StephenCreeksBMW.com. Tear up the road. They got through the Nuggets last night. They're tearing up this five-game homestand right now. Draymond Green, good enough to join us here again on 95.7 The Game. Draymond, how you doing, man?
I'm good. How about you?
Doing really good. How's week number two of fatherhood treating you? How's Draymond Jr.?
He's good. He's actually right here in this little bassinet. Sleep.
Very nice.
He's doing very well.
Does he already have like an authentic Draymond Green jersey?
Not authentic. I can't find an authentic one, but he does have one.
Nice. I figured as much. Lots of like Warriors rattles. Has he already got Michigan State gear in the crib?
Absolutely.
I know how that works. Indeed. Draymond, it's good to have you on again, man. Last night, a triple-double. Congratulations on the win. Afterwards, you were saying that, you know, if you cared about the triple-double, you'd probably have more of them. And I just kind of want to start with a little philosophical conversation, if you'll allow us that. You know, you got Russell Westbrook, who seems to be defined by the triple-double. James Harden just had a triple-double that no one's ever seen before. And, you know, he's a hell of a player in his own right. Offensive mastermind, defensive, we'll worry about that later. And these guys kind of like bask in their triple-doubles. And then there's Kevin Durant, and then there's you, both having triple-doubles, and then sort of diffusing the importance of them. And I just think that there's a lot of philosophical differences in there. That's what makes the Warriors tick. You got guys who get triple doubles and then talk about them like they were nothing. And then you have other guys who are defined by their triple doubles. There's a big difference there, isn't there?
Well, I think they're defined by them because they have way more. I mean, so, you know, you think of Russell right now, you think triple double. I mean, the guy's averaging triple double, and James is like a rebound and a half away from averaging triple-double. So they're defined by him for that reason. I don't necessarily think that's a bad thing. I think, you know, both of them are putting up historical numbers, and they should be, you know, commended for that. They're doing great things. And, you know, when I said what I said, or, you know, KD said what he said, it wasn't a shot at Russell or James. When I said I can have way more if I wanted to, I don't mean I can have 20 or whatever Russell has right now, whatever ridiculous amount of number triple-doubles that he has. I didn't mean that, man, because I don't think I can get as many triple-doubles as Russell. You know, what he's doing right now is unheard of. So when I said that and when KD said what he said, it's not like a shot at anyone else. It's just, like, there's been several games where, like, I didn't play much at this part of the game or that part of the game to even worry about getting a triple-double. Or, you know, you could chase a rebound here or a rebound there to, or an assist here and an assist there to get it. That's what I meant by it. And that's what KD meant by it. We're not going to spend our day worried about trying to throw shots at Russell or throw shots at James. Like, they're two great players.
Right.
They're two guys who are, you know, one of the faces, two of them, both of them are one of the faces of the league, you know, and they're doing great things. It's never to throw shots at them. I don't have enough energy. I know I don't, and I'm sure Kevin doesn't, to worry about what another man's doing and try to throw shots at them each and every day. I mean, that's pointless. That's kind of what goes on in the rap battle, you know, in the rap industry when some guys trying to, you know, get their name back hot or trying to get hot. Like, neither one of us has any reason to do that. So I was kind of baffled when someone said to me earlier, like, yo, did y'all see they tried to say y'all comment was about James or Russell? Like, no. Like, I'm not James. I'm not Russell. I'm not trying to be, nor will I be, nor can I be. And like I stated before, I don't think I could get as many triple-doubles as Russell has. I'm not sure how many James has, but I know for sure I couldn't. So when I said a lot more, a lot more, two could be eight. You know, it's not like that's still catching up with Russell. So sorry for my long-winded answer, but I wanted to get that off my chest because I refuse to, number one, sit and try to take a shot at someone else for something great that they're doing. Like, I mean, at least if I was going to take some shots at somebody, they could be doing something terrible. I mean, this man's averaging a triple-double. Like, if you're going to sit there and take shots at that, you got an entirely different problem, and it's called hating. And I know I don't have that problem, and I know Kevin don't have that problem, and no reason for either one of us to have it. So just wanted to clear that up.
No, I'm glad you did. Again, I wasn't bringing it up to start any static with anyone. I just think that it's kind of interesting that, you know, the triple-double, whether it be because we're all chasing the memory of Magic Johnson, whether it be because, you know, Ice Cube memorialized it once and for all and today was a good day, or it's the fact that we all sit down playing NBA 2K17 trying to chase that triple-double to get a post-game bonus, especially if you're playing on all-star level. You know, it seems like it's just this mythical number that people chase, and then to hear such a team-first priority in the Warriors, having two guys in consecutive nights dismissing their triple-doubles, I just think there's something philosophically there that explained what this team is about and the way you guys are wired.
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, when you look at this team, no one cares about their numbers on any given night. It's like, for instance, with Klay having 60. No one else even looks to shoot the ball. Everybody's looking for him. That's kind of how this team is. You got Kevin Durant out there who can go get a bucket whenever he feel like it. He can look Klay off and say, I'm about to go get mine, while Klay got 37 in the beginning of the second quarter. Or, you know, Steph, who can go get a bucket whenever he wants, can look both of them off and say, I'm going to get me a bucket. No one does that. That's not how we're wired. You know, we're wired. If one guy got it going or two guys got it going, that's who we're going to try to get the ball. You know, and, you know, just trying to do whatever's best for the team. And now in saying that and going back to the triple-double thing one more time, James downplays him as well, and so does Russell. I don't think there's anybody in the NBA who you're going to ask, hey, man, you trying to get a triple-double? He's going to say, yeah, that's what I want to do every night. Like, nobody's doing that.
Right.
But, no, that's definitely how our team is. You know, it's team first, you know, and that's part of the reason we've had the success that we've had. You know, everybody buy into what's best for the team, and if that's taking a lesser role, you know, at times for some guys, in order to succeed and win, guys are doing that. If that's to, you know, we need this guy to score more, he's going to try to do that. If we need this guy to play better defense, he's going to try to do that. And that's what leads to success. And that's, at the end of the day, that's all we want. We all want to win.
Draymond Green here on 95.7 The Game. I've always said the Warriors are one of my favorite shows on television, and sometimes it's the night's guest star that makes this episode so interesting. The guest star last night, Jokic, man. What a future he has in front of him. All the offensive skill you'd ever want in a big man. Draymond, who's the one guy that you've met on the court that really surprised you with their skill level? You know, you planned for one thing, and you got more than you bargained for, and you walked away going like, wow, that guy's better than his tape. That guy's for real.
Oh, well, you know, Jokic is definitely getting better each and every year. You know, if you look at from the time he came into the league, you know, the way he's at now, you know, he works on his game because he's continued to get better and better and better. His future's bright in this league. You know, when you say you walk away with a guy, from a guy, you're like, man, I didn't know he can do that. That's almost every night. You know, you have so many guys in the NBA, everybody has talent. You know, and guys have played different roles throughout their entire career, dating back to elementary, middle school, high school, college, you know, NBA, you play different roles. So the guys can do a lot of things, and you always walk away like, man, I didn't know he could do that, or I didn't know he was that good. And all of a sudden, you think you're going out there with a guy who you don't have to worry about, and then he got 20 points on you that night, and you're like, oh, like, probably should have paid him more attention. And that happens all the time. So But I don't think there's just one specific guy where you're like, yeah, man, he showed me something that I didn't know he had, or, you know, that I didn't know he was capable of, because it happens every single night.
You know, it's amazing to see the efficiencies that you guys play with. You shoot over 50% from the field for the third straight game. 33 assists on 50 field goals made. You guys have had 24 games with at least 30 assists. No other team in the league has six. I mean, it's just a level of basketball that we're not seeing from anyone else. And you guys reached the 30-win plateau faster than anyone else in the league for the third year in a row. That's a new record. I know you guys, you know, you don't want to get wrapped up in the accomplishments outside of did we win the championship this year. But are you kind of keeping track of all these kind of cool milestones that the Warriors continue to stack on top of each other? I mean, you're officially allowed to enjoy this along the way, aren't you?
I mean, you always try to enjoy it because it's a long process and you want to enjoy what you're doing. So you try to enjoy everything along the way. However, you know, I went to 30 win 3 years in a row, whatever that stat is. I don't think in July you're like, yeah, we reached 30 wins before anybody else. Like, last 3 years, like, yeah, that's great. I don't think you're talking about that in July. I think, yeah, man, we won a championship. That's amazing. Or, yeah, we lost in game 7. That sucks. Or, you know, whatever that case is, we made it down from the first round and we had championship hopes. That sucks. At the end of the day, that's what matters. You know, if you win a championship or not, all those milestones on the way is cool. It's cool stuff to do. It's things that you can look at during the regular season and say, oh, man, we did that. But it's never anything that you remember. You know, it'll never be mentioned again until some other team does it and break that. So, whereas the champion is mentioned every time you step on the floor, you know, and that's just what it is. So, and you're called a champion for the rest of your life. You'll never be called, hey, you're the first 10 to 30 wins for the rest of your life.
Right.
So, you know, it's cool little things to do along the way, but no one cares, neither do we.
You're officially deep in your career now. You know, you've seen it all. Nothing's going to surprise you either on the court or in the NBA lifestyle. And, you know, without me embarrassing you here, like, you're a straight-up established NBA all-star now. You're the real deal, man. What's the best part of that? Like, everybody's motivated by success. Share some of yours with us. What is the best part about reaching the pinnacle of NBA success?
Yeah, thanks, first off. But, I mean, I think really, you know, you just being in that category of guys, it's a smaller category. You know, there's not many. You know, it's just to be one of those guys where it's like, all right, man, he's an all-star. Like, you know, everyone wants to reach that plateau, you know, at some point in their career. You know, I reached it in year 4. And I, you know, pray to God that I have many more years left in my career. But to be able to always say, like, I am an all-star. What happens for the rest of my career? I'm an NBA all-star. And that right there alone, you know, holds weight. It's something that you can appreciate, you know, for the rest of your career, because it takes a lot of hard work to get to that point. And there's a lot of good players in this league. And for you to be one of 24, you know, to say, man, like, I made the All-Star game. You know, it's a special thing, and it's not something that I take for granted. It doesn't really get you where it's like, it's this lifestyle thing for me, because at the end of the day, I love playing basketball, and like, the NBA lifestyle, it is what it is. Like, I don't play for the lifestyle. I play because I love competing. I love the game of basketball, and I love winning. And so that's what drives me. It's never about, you know, what becoming something in the league will allow me to live as far as a lifestyle. But at the same time, like I said, it's a great thing. It's something that I definitely don't take for granted. And, you know, I'm very thankful for sure.
Most people would shave a year off their life to be you for 1 month. You know what I mean? That's the way it works. I mean, we all sit around playing video games, watching the sports we watch, dreaming. Just but for a moment, I'd love to throw it down hard on somebody from the baseline just once in my life, and it'll It'll never happen to a schlub like me. Anyways, Draymond, it is time for us once again. We've reached the end of this. Are you ready for Gimme Some No Thank You?
Absolutely.
Using an umbrella when it's raining.
Oh, man, that's tough. If no one else needs it, give me some.
Sushi.
Give me some.
Peanut butter cups.
Give me some every blue moon.
You don't have to qualify all these food answers with, like, I'm watching my diet. It's okay. You're an all-star.
Well,
you can
I
have a peanut butter cup.
I don't want to think like, there's some kid listening. I don't want him to think like, oh, it's okay to eat me some peanut butter cup whenever you want. Like, now you got to do it in moderation. So that's when I try to, you know, press, just say sometimes. Because there's some little kid listening. They're like, hey, I want to play in the NBA. All right, well, Draymond's eating peanut butter cups every day. Hey, Mom, can I get some peanut butter cups every day? I don't want to think that.
Imagine if you applied the same peanut butter cup philosophy to technical fouls.
Oh, man.
Sorry, you opened yourself up. I had to land that one on you. I won't land another pot. The Caldecott Tunnel. Give me some or no thank you.
No thank you. It's brutal. Traffic sucks.
Bowling.
Give me some. I love bowling.
Wearing jewelry while playing sports. Did you see Talib snatch Crabtree's chain?
Yeah, that was hilarious. Yeah, Talib's an animal for sure. But no thank you on my part. I'm really straight on the jewelry while playing.
Everything the Warriors do being compared to the mid-90s Bulls. Give me some or no thank you.
Give me some. I think you always want to be compared to the greatest. You know, that means you're doing something right. So definitely give me some.
Having a mid-90s Bull as your head coach.
Give me some. That's my guy.
NFL Wild Card Weekend.
Give me some. That's like a bittersweet weekend, though, because there's not as many games on. You know, I love watching football on Sundays, just laying down, watch football all day. So it's bittersweet. Definitely give me some because it's the playoffs and it's what matters, but it takes some of the games away, so that kind of sucks.
The video game series Call of Duty.
No, thank you. They're fine, but I suck at them, and I hate losing.
Wearing a robe after a shower.
No, thank you.
Shaving in the shower.
No, thank you.
Throw pillows.
Say that one more time.
Throw pillows, like decorative pillows.
They look nice, but no, thank you, man. It's too much work taking them off the bed and putting them back on. No, thank you.
Yeah, I'm married now, and we have pillows we're allowed to use and pillows we're only allowed to look at, and I don't get it. I just,
it's too much.
Legos.
No, thank you.
Beyonce headlining Coachella.
Give me some. I'd love to see that. I've seen Beyonce perform maybe 6-7 times, maybe more, and every time I walk away like, wow, she's incredible. So, yeah, definitely give me some.
Let's wrap up with this. Now it looks like it might be a Michigan State quarterback leading the Raiders into Houston.
Give me some. Let's go, Connor Cook. Get it done. Show everybody what they're doing.
Go Sparty. They might want to call Mariucci for some ideas, too. He's an Iron Mountain guy. Get him in there. Hey, thank you so much, Draymond. Good to talk to you, man. Good luck against the Trailblazers tomorrow night, and we'll be seeing you again real soon on this homestand. Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot. Appreciate it.
There he is, Draymond Green. Great weekly appearance by him. By the way, the Santa Cruz Warriors, Golden State's NBA D-League team, is going to be hosting a game against the Oklahoma City Thunder's D-League affiliate, the Oklahoma City Blue. You're my boy, Blue! That game's going to be at Oracle Arena on Sunday, February 12th. The first 10,000 fans who enter Oracle are going to get a special edition Steph Curry Surfing Santa Cruz bobblehead. So there you go. A chance to see the future of the league at Oracle coming up a little bit later on this month. You can go to warriors.com for any and all information. Thanks, as always, to Draymond Green. Of course, we've got people here saying, Damon, you cannot say the word pillow correctly.
And they are correct.
I know that. I know I can't
it's
say it.
Pillow, not pillow.
We've been down this road before.
And Coachella.
It's Coachella?
Coachella.
What did I say? Couchella?
I think so, yeah. But you maybe had couch on your mind from the couch pillows.
I think I did. I'm going to go with the couch pillow thing, too. Damon, Draymond can't even understand you saying pillows. That's what that says.
Just think like pill, like a box of, like you're going to take a pill.
There are some words that I forever mispronounce, and that's one of them. That's, sorry.
I'm okay. It's okay, Damon. If that's the only word.
That's it. It's the only one I'll get wrong the rest of the day, I promise you. We're going to have a Tuesday trifecta coming up at 5:30. Our buddy Tim Roy will stop on by at 6 o'clock as well. So Draymond's worried about endorsing Reese's peanut butter cups, but text for everybody? Come on!
But he loves bowling.
He does love bowling, and he hates the Caldecott Tunnel. Really, if you think about it, these interviews with Draymond, it's our version of People Magazine's So Like Us. Like,
yeah.
We're really not that different. I mean, sure, he happens to be an NBA All-Star in the prime of his physical career and is a specimen to which none of us will ever be. But he also hates the Caldecott Tunnel. So that means we're almost the same person.
Connected.
It's almost the same. It really is. I didn't want to ask him anything about the Jed York presser because I want to distance champions from losers. I don't want the two of them meeting in the same place. There is no doubt that Jed York has officially taken the mantle of worst owner in the Bay Area. And that's a tough thing to wrestle away from a couple other guys around here. It really is, but it's his now. It's his to run with. It's his to grow with. It's defining him. Oh, is it defining him? So, when we come on back next hour, I'll let you know that we're going to have some open lines as we hop into the hour. If you want in on something that you got to get off your chest, now would be the time. Because we are going to get to a Tuesday trifecta at 5:30. The number is 888-957-9570. We will take apart the Jed York press conference when we come on back. Soundbite by soundbite. Inability to admit what's wrong after inability to come clean. We're going to get into all of that next. Stay tuned. You're not going to want to miss it. And we still haven't officially Sarah McLachlan'd the entire season. We're going to have to do that before it's all said and done. The Sarah McLachlan'ing of the 49ers before we're done tonight. I can promise you that here on 95.7 The Game.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.